Begin the current daf Masechta Sanhedrin daf Chav Beis. Begin on the bottom of Chav Aleph Beis, 5 lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we had a machlekes regarding how many sefer Torah does the king have to write for himself. We said in the Mishnah he bekaitzably sefer Torah lishmoy. So there was an opinion that said that he actually has to write 2 sefer Torah, and the way we know that is from the word Mishnei Torah, where it says bekaitzably Mishnei Torah zayis, which tells you the word Mishnah can be read as from the word double, which sounds like, yeah, every single person has to write 1 Sefer Torah, the king actually has to write for himself 2 Sefer Torah. But there was an opinion that said, no, it's only 1 Sefer Torah, and then we'll see in the coming Gemara regarding, so how do they interpret, what does the word Mishnah come to say? It actually comes to teach a different halacha, which is what we already started on the previous stuff, in regards to what ended up happening to the script of the Torah, that it started in one way and possibly ended in another way. Tanya learned in the Braisa 3 different opinions in regards to the Torah in the script that it was given. Rabbi Yisrael, he says his follows. He says, Ro hoya Ezra, shetinasin Torah al yodi li Yisrael. Ezra HaSefer, who was in the times of when the rebuilding of the second base of Mikdash, it was fit for the Torah to have been given through him to the Jewish people. El Malu lo kod Moshe, had it not been that Moshe Rabbeinu was there first, that he was at the time of Har Sinai, and it was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know this? By regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in Shemais, Moshe Ala Elokim, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hashem. And by Ezra, Ezra says the same terminology. Who Ezra Ala Mibavel? He says, who went up from Babel? Both of them say about going up. Says the Gemara, Ma Liyah Omer Kan Torah, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu is going up and meant to go up to Hashem to receive the Torah, Afaliyah Omer Lahalam Torah, so too, where it says by Ezra about going up, it also means going up to receive the Torah. So to be Moshe Rabbeinu, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in Devarim, "Va'esi tziva Hashem be'esahi," and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "And I was commanded at that time from Hashem, l'lamed eschem chukim and mishpatim, to teach you chukim and mishpatim, statutes and laws." But Ezra, Rabbeinu, by Ezra, it says, and say for Ezra, "Ki Ezra heichen levavai," because Ezra prepared his heart, lidras his Torah Hashem, belases to seek out the Torah of Hashem and to do it. U'lalamed b'Yisrael, and to teach the Jewish people chayk u'mishpat, statute and law. You see the same elements by Ezra as by Moshe. Now, so says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yosi, even though the Torah ultimately was not given through Ezra, but rather through Moshe Benu, nishtan al yod ha'ksav, but there was an element of that that was given through him, where the script of the Torah was changed in the days of Ezra. Shemak says in Sefer Ezra, as it gets top of Chabezim and Alav, says uchsav ha'nishtavan, that the script which was changed, Kasav Aramis Umuturgam Aramis, was written in Aramaic, which doesn't really mean Aramaic, it actually means Ashuris, but that they had used that script, and it was translated in Aramaic, which this pasuk is in Sefer Ezra, which that in his days is when they had this change of the script, they had this different script, because it actually had changed in an incident through a malach, which had written the words, as we'll see later on, Mana, Mana, Takul Uparsin, in the days of Daniel. Before that, where it says over there regarding that incident in Sefer Daniel, says, which is that they didn't know how to read and translate the writing of the angel, which was in the days of Belshazzar, that evil king, that there were many different Jews over there at that party, and still no one was able to translate to understand what was the writing on the wall. Obviously, and this is what Rabbi Yosi is proving, is that because the script changed and that even the Jews didn't know how to translate the words, they didn't know what the words were. And the reason for that is, like it says in Sefer Devarim, it says, because of es Mishnei HaTorah HaZayis, which we had quoted that pasuk in the previous stuff, that you should write this Mishnei HaTorah. What does it mean, the Mishnei HaTorah? You should write the Torah. What's Mishnei HaTorah? Kesav Harol Hishtanois. It's a script that it's fit to be changed, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was alluding to this in the Torah, that the Torah that was written in his days was ultimately going to change, meaning from the Ivri script to the Ashuri script, which was given to them in the days of Daniel, and then Ezra later on came and wrote the Torah in that script, known as Ksav Ashuris. Now, no, Lama Nikr Ashuris. Why is it called that script called Ashuris? Sha'ali Imam Ashur, because it came up with them from Assyria, which they had been in exile after the first Churban Beis Hamikdash, when they were in Golas Babel. When they came up, they brought that script up with them, and that was in the times of Ezra, in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. So that's a different interpretation of Mishnah, not as we had taught from Rav in the previous daf, that it means the term of double, No, this is, and this is what Abai would learn it, that it's talking about that the king only wrote one Sefer Torah. Mishnah Torah doesn't mean that there's two Torahs. It means that because ultimately the script was going to be changed, which is that Ezra was on par as Moshe Rabbeinu in regards to having the Torah being given through him. So although it wasn't, but something did change, which was the script. However, a different interpretation, Tanya Lutin the Brisa, Rebbe Eimer, he says that no, B'tchila B'ksav Zeh Nitna Torah LeYisrael. He disagrees with Rabbi Yisi. He says, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah was originally given in the Ashura script. Not like Rabbi Yisi said, it was originally given the Ivri script, and that's why they didn't recognize the writing, even the Jews over there by Baal Shetzer, because it was just only then, that that time, that they had discovered this new writing by the Malach. Says, no, it was originally given in Ashura's script. So then the question is, so why does the Pasuk say, Lo kahalin kesava lemikra? So why was it that the Jews didn't recognize, know what to translate? Says Rebbe, because Kiv and Shechatu, since the Jewish people had sinned in the first Beis HaMikdash, and they disgraced the Torah, so nepech lehen l'royit, from the term of like Tiratz Oyev, as we have in the Shira Sayam, which means say they forgot the Torah. They couldn't even recognize the writing of the Ksav Ashura's, which their Sefer Torah were written in. Once they did tshuva, so then it was returned to them. Like says the pasuk in Zechariah, "Shuvu lebitzarin," return to your fortified cities, referring to Yerushalayim, which is going on the second base of Migdash that the prophecy is. Assyria hatikva, the prisoners of hope. Gamayim, also today, Magid Mishnah, which is telling you regarding that which would ultimately be changed, meaning this that you forgot this Mishnah Hatayra, which is that it was changed in the sense that the people didn't recall this Ksav Ashuris, Ashavlach, I will return to you that which you forgot, which is this Mishnah HaTerazayis, which, yeah, it did change, but it was always originally Ashuris, then they forgot it, then it was returned to them. Now, if that's the case, Lama Nikra Shema Ashuris, then why was this Ksav, this writing, this script called Ashuris, if it always was? The other interpretation said it wasn't. It only came up with them from Ashur. But if you're saying that it always was, even in times of Moshe Rabbeinu, then why is it called Ashuris? So according to that, Shemu Usheris Piksav, it's because it's the most praiseworthy of the scripts, it's the most beautiful. That's why it says Ashur, it's called Ksav Ashur, it's from the term of Ashre, of Musheris. That's why it has that, not because it came out from Ashur. A third interpretation, Reb Shimon Laza Ayim Mishum Reb Eliezer Ben Parta, Sha'ama Mishum Reb Laza Hamaydoi. He says, Ksav Zeh Loi Nishtan Kol Iker. We have Reb Yisi's first interpretation said, it was always Ivri, changed to Ashur. Then we have Rebbe says, no, it was Ashur. They forgot it, and then they got it back. He says, no, it never changed. It was always Ashur, and everyone always knew it. Shnemak says, the Pasuk in Shemais. It says, when it describes the parts of the Mishkan, it says, Vavi Hamudim, which are these silver pillars, the silver hooks that were made like, they were made like hooks that were on the pillars, which they attached it to the pillars of the Mishkan, which from that they would hang the loops of the curtains of the courtyard and the different types of curtains that they were over there. Now, hooks are generally in the shape of what we have in our Sefer Torah, the way a Vav looks. Now, what you see from that is that obviously in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they're describing the hooks, the word they used was Vavei, which is like a Vav, to say that it's the same Vavs that we have now. It's not like they had Ksav Ashuris then, obviously, because they're describing it in the shape of a Vav. So, moreover, ma'amudim lo nishtanu, and just like the pillars themselves in the Mishkan never changed, it always was that, avavim lo nishtanu, so too the vavs, meaning the aleph beis, never changed. So therefore, what it was then is what it is now. We always had ksav ashuris. So too, va'emer, the pasuk says in Esther, it says, ve'la yehudim, that for the Jews, k'ksavim u'kilashayinim, for their script, and then their language, which just like the language of the Jewish people never changed, because everyone agrees that the Torah was given in Lashon HaKodesh, and we still have Lashon HaKodesh. So to the script, the writing of the Sefer Torah never changed, always was Ksav Ashuris. So how does he interpret then the Mishnah HaTorah? According to the first two interpretations, there was some change, either because it was never Ashuris and it became, or they forgot the Ashuris and came back. According to him, it always was. So what's this terminology of Mishnah Torah Zayis? So he says, like we said in the previous stuff, like for Rava, it means L'shtei Tyrus. It's referring to the king for his two Sifri Torah, which is the word Mishnah can mean also double, which Acha Sheyetzah V'Nechnesi, my one Sefer Torah that would go out and come in with him, V'Acha Shemenachas L'Bebeis Genazim, a one that would stay in his treasury, Eisa Sheyetzah V'Nechnesi, the one that would come in and out with him, He made it very small, like an amulet with very small writing, which was very easy for him to carry it around. And he would hang it on, tied onto his arm. Shnemak, it says a pasuk, Shivisi Hashem lo negdi samad, I place Hashem opposite me constantly, which the end of that pasuk says, because from my right it will never leave, which that refers to David HaMelech, who was talking about the Sefer Torah that was tied onto his arm. Nothing more, but V'idach, but according to the other interpretations, who don't learn Mishnei Torah that there has to be another Sefer Torah that the king has, so he didn't have it tied onto him wherever he went, so high Shivisi my darish bay, so what do they interpret the word that I always place Hashem in front of me, what does that refer to? He doesn't have a Sefer Torah tied onto him. Says the Gemara, who mi bayi leila k'derav chana b'abizna, he needs it for a different drasha. He says the following halacha: Mispal, someone that davens, he has to see himself as if the divine presence is opposite him. Shlemak says the pasuk, "Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samad," as the famous first Rama of Shulchan Aruch, that I place Hashem opposite me constantly, not because it's Sefer Torah, but one always has to see himself, especially when he's davening, as if the divine presence is opposite him. Now the Gemara is Reb Shimon. According to this last interpretation of Reb Shimon, who says that there was never a change at all, which sounds like not like Rebbe, because he's actually coming to dispute Rebbe, he sounds like that they never forgot Ksav Ashuris at all. So then the question is, so my loy kohalin Ksav Limikra. So what? How do we understand in that incident in Daniel, which said that even the Jews that were there didn't, they couldn't read the words that were there. So according to other interpretations, either because they never knew of the Ksav Ashuris, or because they had forgotten it, so that's why they couldn't read it. But according to Reb Shimon, it says, yeah, the Jews always knew Ksav Ashuris, why couldn't they read it? So Rav, he says, it's not because they didn't recognize the letters. It's because Begimatri Ichtav Lahain. It was written in a computation form, which is Yitas Yitas Adach Pughamt. Those are the words that were written by the Malach on the wall. Now, the question is, Samai Parash Lahu, so what was the translation of that word? So it was only Daniel that was able to translate as he says, Minei Minei Tekel Ufarsin. Now, how did he get those words from the words that were written on the wall? It's because it actually was through a certain computation known as Atbash, which is the word Yitas, is that the Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis correlates to the last letter, the Aleph to the Tuf. The second letter of the Aleph Beis correlates to the second last one, which the penultimate, which is Shin, and so on and so forth, Gar, and it keeps on going further and further. So if one takes the Yud, the correlating letter is a Mem. You take the Tess of the Yitas, you get a Nun. And the Suf, which is the last letter, you get an Aleph, which was the word that he translated, which was Menei. So you take the you have this whole pattern, this whole atbash going down as a calculation, and you write that word. So again, the yud took the place of the yud, and the nun took the place of the tes, and the alf took the place of the tuf. And that's how he figured that out from yitas yitas adach pokam, makes the words mene mene tekele parson. Now, what did that mean? What was the message? What was the writing on the wall for Baal Shatza? Mene is from the word of counting, which was mena eloha machuscha. God has counted your reign, and he has considered complete, it's concluded, it's over. You're not going to be king anymore. Tekel, from the word of weighing, which is tekilta b'maznai, it was weighed on the scale, and it turns out that you're lacking, you're found lacking. Parson, from the term of pras, which is a piece, which sounds like in the plural that there's two pieces, is prisas malchuscha, your kingdom will be split up into pieces. Vihavis lamadai upars, and will be given, it will be lost from you and be given over to the other kingdoms of Madai and Pars. That's one interpretation of why the Jews, although they recognize the letters, cannot translate it. Shmuel, I mean, he says, no, actually what was written was mamsus ninkefi a'alran. Now, how does that translate into menei menei tekelu parson? Is because these three words were written one on top of the other. Now, if you take the first letter and you go downward as in a code, you'll get from Mamsum Ninkafeya Alran, you take the Mem and the Nun and the Aleph, which is the first of each one, you get the word Menei. And if you continue doing that, you combine words, you're going to get to all those words that Daniel had seen in that coded way of it being written. Rabbi Yechonim, he actually says it was written Anam Anam Lakas Nisrafu, which is basically the words just backwards. Anam is backwards Mana, Menei and Tekel, it's the words just written backwards. Ravashi, I mean, he says similarly, says it was Nemo Nemo Kesal Porson, which is basically switching around the first two letters. So you switch around the Mem and the Nun, you get Menei, and Tekel, and you switch around the words, and then that's why they couldn't read it, but not because they didn't recognize the letters, but just because they didn't know the way it was coded as it was written. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the halachas of the king. So it says, "In Rechman al Susa, we're not allowed to ride on the horse, on the king's horse. They Yishan al Kisi, he can't sit on his throne. They Mishnamish and Mishaviti, he can't utilize his staff, his stick. Then Rayan Isa, Kishu Mistap, you're not allowed to look at him when he's getting a haircut. Velikshu Aram, not when he's naked. Velikshu Besa Mechetz, not when he's in the bathhouse. Shnem, like it says, the Pasuk in the farm, Soim Tasim Lechem Elch, place he shall surely place the king upon you, which means Shetei Mosei Lecha, his fear should be on you, and you lose that element when you use his stuff and when you see him in a compromised state. Now, related to this, Amr Yechanan, he says, Afishag muteris l'shleima. Avishag, who will describe her in a moment, was permitted for Shleima to have her as a wife. Vasru l'adiniyo, but she was forbidden to adiniyo, which these are the two sons of David HaMelech. The reason why muteris l'shleima, she was permitted for Shleima, is the Melech, because Shleima himself was a king. Umelech mishtamish b'shabita shemelech, and although she was like the staff of the king, as we'll describe, she wasn't actually married to David, but it's like something that he had used, like his staff. So a king is permitted to use the staff of another king. But Vasrul Adinyo, but she was forbidden to the other son, Adinyo, because they had Yehu, because he was a commoner, he was never a king. So the Gemara explains, Avishag Mahi, so who is this woman Avishag, who was not his father's wife, because if it was, if she was married to her father, then even if he's a king, which forbidden because it's Eshes Aviv, so what was her situation? So it says the Gemara in the Chassid, like it says the Pasuk Melachim Aleph. It says Vamelech David Zaken Baba Yom Begamim, that the king David was elderly and was coming in age, etc. But Yemel Avadav, and his servant said to him, Yuvakshu Begamim, let us seek a woman that could provide warmth for the king. Chassid, like the Pasuk says, Vayivakshu Nara Yafa Begamim, that they were seeking a beautiful maiden. Uksiven, it says in the Pasuk, Vanara Yofa Ad Ma'oi, that the girl was beautiful, very much so. Vatila Melech Sekenis Vatershaseyu, and she was for the king a warmer, and she served him, which is that she was not his wife, but rather served in a different function. Now, Amr, she said, Ninansiven, she said, let's get married. Amalah, he said to her, no problem, but seriously, you're forbidden to me. In other words, I already married my quota of 18 wives. So Amalay, she said to him, Chasri Liganavo, when it's lacking for the thief, that when he doesn't find anywhere to steal from, nafshe l'shlama naked, then he holds himself in a humble person as if he's a man of peace. In other words, he really would steal, just doesn't have where to steal. So he said, me? I would never. Look, did I steal? He's only not stealing because he doesn't have where to steal from. What she was alluding to was saying, it's only because you're elderly and you're very weak that you say that I'm forbidden to you, but really it's because you don't have the strength anymore to have me as a wife. So Amalahu, he said to the people around themselves, says, Karali Labasheva, he wanted to show her. He says, call in my wife Batsheva. Uksivan, and it says in the Pasuk, Batavi Batsheva Elamelech HaKhadra, that Batsheva came to the king into his chambers. And Amram Yehuda Meravi says, Ba'isis Shah, in that moment, Kincha Batsheva Bishlolish Esri Mapis, that Batsheva wiped herself with 13 different wipes, which is because David HaMelech had relations with her 13 times. And she wiped herself between every act of relations. And the way we know that is because in that pasuk it actually is 13 words. But Tava Bas Sheva Elamelech Hachadra Vamelech Zaken Ma'oid Vavishag Hashunamis Misharis Esamelech, which, what is the relationship between Avishag Hashunamis serving the king and Bas Sheva? Because that was alluding to that incident where she said, oh, it's only, you don't want to marry me because you can. And he says, oh, really? And he went and he showed her with his wife 13 times. It just was because he already had maxed out on this quota of a king marrying 18 wives. Now, Amr Shem Ba'abba, he makes a reflection. He says, Boi re'eh, come and see, kamakoshin gerishin. How harsh is divorce? Sorry, David HaMelech, David HaMelech permitted them for him to be secluded with Avishag, even though at that time they had forbidden, as we said in the previous daf, the seclusion even with a single woman. And he did not permit for them to just divorce one of his 18 wives so that he can marry Avishag, who he's having companionship with her right now. He didn't want to because divorce is a very harsh thing. So to Amr Beliaz, he says, Kol Magarish is Ish the Rishayna, whoever divorces his first wife, Afilim is Beach Marud of the Mois, even the altar in the Beis HaMikdash sheds tears on him. Shnemak says, a pasuk in Malachi, Bezoi Shein is Tasu. And this is a second thing that you do. Kasais Dimas Mizbech Hashem, that you cover the Mizbech of Hashem with tears. Bechivanaka, crying and sighing, me'ein oid p'nais alamincha, without turning anymore to the flower offerings, v'lekachas retzayim me'etchem, and to take a willing from your hands. Ruksevin, it says afterwards, v'amartim, and you're going to say, Alma, why did this happen? Al ki Hashem heid b'incho, b'in eishes nerecha, because Hashem testified between you and the wife of your youth, asha'ata begatta ba, because you have committed treason against her, v'hichaver t'cha, and she's your friend, v'eishes b'rischa, and the wife of your covenant. So you see that the Mizbeach sheds tears for that separation between the husband and the wife of his youth, of his first wife. Now, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, related regarding losing a wife, V'itamer, and some say it was Rabbi Lazar, that ain't ishtei shel adam meisa, the wife of a person does not die, elam ken mevakshem imenu mamon ve'ein lo, only if they seek to get reparations, money from that he had stolen from them and he doesn't have to pay it up. Shlomik says the pasuk in Mishlei, v'im ein lecha l'shamin, you don't have to pay up what you had stolen, lama yikach mishkafcha mitachtecha, why should they have to take your bed from beneath you, which refers to the wife, and that's why that caused that loss. Now, continuing on that theme, also from Amar Rabbi Yechanan, kol adam shemeisa ishtei rishayin, any person that his first wife dies, kilo char beis hamikdash b'yomim, it's as if the beis hamikdash was destroyed in his days. Because shenem, like it says the pasuk in Yecheskel, it says, ben adam, he was told, the son of man, Hinini lekech mimcha esmach me'reinecha b'magefa. Hashem told him, behold, I'm going to take the desire of your eyes from you in a plague. Like tisped, you're not going to eulogize. Like tivka, you're not going to cry. Like tavi demascha, your tears are not even going to come. Ruksevin says later on, and I spoke to the people in the morning. Vatomas ishte be'erev, my wife died in the evening. So we see that the wife is called Machmed Necha. Now, Uchsib, it says later on, Hinini Mechales Mikdashi, behold, I'm going to desecrate my temple, Goin Uzchem, the power of your might, Machmed Necha, the desire of your eyes. You see, it's given the same terminology, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash would be correlating to the person losing his wife. Amr Alexandri, he says, moreover, he says, Kol Adam Shemesa Ishta Beyam, of any person, any man that his wife died when he's still alive, Eilam Chashach Bada, his world becomes dark for him. Shemek says, Pasuk in Eiv, Ur Chashach Ba'olai. The light became dark in his tent, which means to say, because of his oil, and as the Gemara Moed Katan says, the person's tent refers to his wife. V'neiroi Olav Yiduch, and his candle, his light on him, will extinguish. Mirsa B'chanina Amah, he says, Pisiyosim Miskatsis, his steps get shorter. Shemek, like it says after that over there, it says, Yitzru Tza'ad De'ainai, that the steps of his might get shorter. Rebbevo Amr, he says, Atzasi Nefelis, his counsel fails. Shnomek says over there in the Pasuk, he says, Vatashlichei Atzasi, that his counsel is thrown down. Amr Rabba Babachan Amr Biechanan continues related discussion to this. He says, Kash Lezavgim Kikris Yamsev, and it's very hard to put them together like the splitting of the sea. Shnomek says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Elohim Moshe Bichidim Beisa, that Hashem puts the individuals into a house. He takes out the prisoners in an opportune time. Now, Al-Tikri, don't say it was taking out prisoners, meaning putting individuals together in a house, which is what a marriage is like taking out prisoners. Now, which prisoners are we talking about? We're talking about the prisoners of the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim, which the conclusion was Kriyas Yamsev, because Al-Tikri B'Kesharis, don't read in an opportune time, Ela B'chi V'Shiris, it's two words, rather with crying and with song, which the Egyptians were crying and the Jews were singing by the splitting of the sea. So we see that putting people a couple together is as kasha, as difficult as the splitting of the sea. Now the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so that a zivug is as hard as Kriyas Yamsev? But V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he says, Arbam Yoim Kaid Mitzirus Avlad, 40 days before the formation of the child, Bas Kol Yoitzes Vaymeris, so a heavenly voice comes out and says, Bas Plaini Laplaini, the daughter of that man goes to that man. So it's not a difficult thing to put them together. They already preordained the two halves of the same soul. It's already was paired already from beforehand. So it's like, well, Loikash, it's not a difficulty. Habazibug Rishon. By the first pair, that's where the baskel comes out. Habazibug Sheni. But by the second pairing, that's where it's as difficult as Kriyas Yamsev. Now, Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman, he says, L'kol yesh tumur. For everything, there is a replacement. Chutz me'eshes ne'urim. Besides, for the wife of one's youth. Shnamak says, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, Ve'eshes ne'urim, the wife of the youth, is a possible kitimois. That'll be something that you could just throw away and be disgusted with. It can't. There's nothing that's, everything's replaceable besides the eshes ne'urim. Now, Masan Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yitzchak Berei, Rabbi Yehuda taught his son Rabbi Yitzchak, in other mitzi kuris ruach, a person does not find a pleasure, contentment, Elam ishta rishayna, except from his first wife. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Mishlei, it says yehi makar chabarach, that your source should be blessed. Usmach, and you should rejoice. May eishes from the wife as we continue to base of nurecha of your youth. So Amalei, so the son said to his father, who is teaching him this halacha, kugain man, who would be a good example of this? Amalei kugain mechi, says like your mother, my whole life, my whole joy is all from your mother. So he says, I'm not the gemara's ini, is that so? But for a makri, like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yitzchak Berei, it was a different time. That Rabbi Yehuda was teaching his son Rabbi Yitzchak a pasuk in Koheles. It says, "Umlitza ni marmi mavas," that I find more bitter than death as the isha ashehimutzud macharam, the woman that is full of traps and snares. V'amaloi, and the son said, his father kugain man, for example, like who? V'amaloi kugain emechi, says like your mother. So was she the kairas ruach of his life, or was she more bitter than death? Says the Gemara, both were true. Miskav tekiva, she was a very harsh and difficult woman, and therefore she was more bitter than death. But Yibur ma'abra b'mila, but she was someone that was what's called mavra al-midei seha. She came over her nature, and therefore she was able to get over that, and therefore she did give him that much pleasure. But many times we know that pain and pleasure are actually two sides of the same coin. So although there was much pain, more bitter than death, but there was no greater pleasure that he had than from his wife. Amar Rav Shmuel ba'unya mishmei derav, he says, Isha, a woman, before she has relations, goylem hi. When we say the word goylem, as similar as we find in the Mishnah Masechtas Chulin, that golmei kli eitz, or tmein, it means to say that a vessel, before it's finished, when it's unfinished, it's called a goylem. It's not finished, which is why we call a person that's not all there, we call him a goylem, because he's not all finished, he doesn't have a seichel totally finished. So in this sense, a woman is considered an unfinished receptacle, until she has bia with a man, and ve'ena kardeses bris, and she does not go ahead and create a covenant, elamisha asikli, only with the man that makes her into that vessel, which is when she first has relations, then that opens her up into becoming into receptacle. Like I said, the pasuk in Yeshaya, kibo alayech oisayech, because your maker is your baal, referring in this metaphor to Hashem, which with the word baal actually comes from being bayal. Hashem tzavaka shemai, his name is Hashem, the Lord of hosts. Where we see that's what makes which we are the nekeva, we are like the wife of the relationship with Hashem, that's what makes us, that's what makes the woman into a kli, which is from her husband in that first maisa of bia. Now, Tana, we learned, ein ish meis el le'ishtei. A man only dies for his wife, meaning to his wife. And the ein isha meisa el le'bala, and so too, a woman only dies to her husband, which means although they are lost from the world, but basically the one who's getting the greatest loss is really the husband and the wife. As the Gemara says, Ein ish meis el le'ishtei, where do we find that when a man dies, it's really only a loss, it's like death to his wife? Shemek says a pasuk in Rus, it says, V'yomas elimelech ish nami, that elimelech, who is the man of Nami, he died. Why is it saying he's the man of Nami over there, the husband? Because the loss, the death, was really the most was felt by the wife. And so to ve'ein isha meis el le'baila, a woman only dies to her husband. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis, that Yaakov Avinu said, Vani bevayi mipadan, that when I was coming from Padan Aram, Meso alai Rachel, Rachel died on me. Means to say that the death was really felt primarily by the husband. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that said that, Ein Rein Isa b'chulu, we're not allowed to see the king when he's in the middle of getting a haircut, because it's not appropriate. We lose that certain sense of awe from the king. The Torah went in the Brisa that Melech Mestab B'chol Yom, the king takes the haircut every single day, whereas Kohen Gadol Me'er Shabbos La'er Shabbos, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, takes every Friday, and Kohen Hedid Echel L'Shalashim Yom, the regular Kohen, takes every 30 days. As the Gemara explains, Melech Mestab B'chol Yom, the king takes the haircut every single day. Shnei, because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Melech B'yofir Techazen Einecha, the king in his beauty, your eyes shall behold, meaning he should always be in that perfect, beautiful state, which means to get a haircut every single day. Kohen Gadol me'erev Shabbos, a Kohen Gadol takes every Friday. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachman b'Yechi, and then he says, what's the reason for that? Because Hayil u'Mishmar is, since the different groups of the Kahanim, which is every week there's another Mishmar, they would split the Kahanim into 24 groups, they would switch, and Mischachis, they would renew on Shabbos, which on Shabbos the old one would leave and the new one would come in. So he had to take a haircut on Friday because of the new group that's coming in on Shabbos, that they should see him in a beautiful state. Those first impressions they have, the Kohen Gadol, they see him in a good appearance. So since they come on Shabbos, on Friday afternoon he should go ahead and take that haircut. Whereas Kohen Hedyet, Echel L'Shleishim Yoyim, a Kohen Hedyet is once every 30 days, like it says the pasuk in Yecheskel, says regarding the Kahanim, it says, V'reishim Lo Yigalechu, their head they should not shave.
They didn't shave off over the hair. But uferu leishalechu, neither should they grow their hair too long. Rather, the pasuk says, kasam yichsum es rishem, they should trim the hair on their head. Now, so what's that amount of that they should not have pera hair too long? The yal of pera min nazir. We learn out the term pera, which it says the same word by the halachas of a nazir. Sivhach, it says over here, pera lo yishalechu. They should not grow their hair pera. Uksiv hasim, it says over there in Bamidbar, gadol pera sarisha, the nazir, to the contrary, he actually has to grow his hair into pera. Now, malahal and shleishim, just like over there, the nazir has to grow his hair. Pera means he has to grow it for 30 days. Afkan shleishim, here also when it's telling you, don't let it get more than pera, it's saying that it shouldn't be more than 30 days. Which not nami. So do we learn, stam nazirish shleishim yoim, that an unspecified nazirish is for 30 days, and that is, we see the term para refers to a hair of 30 days. So the Gemara says, but nahasam nalam, we do we know that the hair of a stam nazir of para is 30 days? So Rav Masna, he says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, Mamidbar, kodesh yeh, that he should be sanctified, referring to his hair, the numerical value of yeh, tlas nav is 30, because yud is 10, he is 5, yud is 10, and he is 5, for a total of 30. And therefore you know that Pera is 30 days, and therefore shouldn't be more than 30 days by the Kohen Hedget. Now, on that, Amalei Rav Papa Labahi asks, why? Ema loy lirbi klal, say that it should not get to Pera, meaning it shouldn't reach till 30 days. Maybe you should do it on day 7 or day 17, but maybe, how do we know that only every 30 days? Maybe you shouldn't get to Pera. It says, Pera loy shalechu. So Amalei, so that Abai responded, he says that no, it's only called Pera after 30 days. Meaning by day 30. And that is, iksiv lo yishalechu pera, if it would have been written in the pasuk, they should not let it grow pera, sukkah de gamra, then it would be like you said, then it would sound like that they should not grow it to pera, meaning it should never reach to the measurement of pera. And then, yeah, maybe they should cut on day 29. But hash dechsiv, but now that the pasuk is written, upera lo yishalechu, which sounds like that it should be pera, but then lo yishalechu shouldn't get more than that, sounds like pera. That a hair of 30 days lahavish should be, but shaluche, but to be more than that, loy l'shalcho, that shouldn't be. So that's how we know that it reaches day 30, then they take a haircut, but not more than that. Now, so the Gemara asks, but ihachi, if that's the case, then we learn that from the pasuk, that halacha regarding kahanim, so in the nami, so today also it should be that halacha. Why is it that the kahanim don't take haircuts every 30 days? So the Gemara, no, dum yidiyayin, it's comparable to the prohibition of a kohen drinking wine. Because the pasuk right there says v'yayin lo yishtu b'vayim, that they shouldn't drink wine when they're coming in to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, which we compare the prohibition of having them grow their hairs more than 30 days to the prohibition of drinking wine. Because by wine it says that their prohibition is only b'vayim when they come into the Beis HaMikdash. So that teaches us ma yayin b'zman b'yehuda asa, just like the prohibition of a kohen drinking wine is only when they go into the Beis HaMikdash to do the avodah, but shaloi b'zman b'yashari, if they're not going into the Beis HaMikdash, they're permitted to drink. Which today no one's going to do the avoiding the base of midrash because sadly it's not around. Af pura reish, so too growing their hair too long, bisman bias. It's only prohibition if they're going into the base of midrash to do the avoider. Shalai bisman bias, sorry, if it's not at the time that they're going in, therefore it's permitted. Now the Gemara asks, the yayin shalai bisman bias, sorry, is that really so that today's times, meaning when there's no one going in to do the avoider in the base of midrash, that it's permitted for Kohen to consume wine? But Ratan, you learn the Braisa, which the beginning of that Braisa says that in today's times, years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, if there is a Kayan that recognizes his lineage and he knows from which Mishmar that he was from, which the Kayan was split into 24 groups, and every group had a week. Now, in that group, there was a Beis Av, the specific family in that larger family, which had its own day. So if there's a Kayan who recognizes not only from which Mishmar he's from, let's say Yahyarab, and he knows in that Mishmar which family he was from, which day was of that week, then the halacha is forbidden that entire day, even Bizman Azeh, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. Let's say he recognizes his Mishmar, he knows from which larger family he's from, but he doesn't recognize which specific Beis Av he's from, then he's forbidden that entire week. Let's say he doesn't recognize not his Mishmar and not the Beis Av, then it's forbidden for him to drink at any day, because maybe today is his day. And you have to be concerned that maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built today, and he's going to have to serve, and he's going to be intoxicated. He's not going to be able to do the avodah. Therefore, Kohen's never allowed to drink wine if he doesn't know which Mishmar or Beis Av came from. Now, that Rebbe Omer, the Braisa continues and says, Rebbe says that Omer Ani, I say that if we're going to start being concerned that maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built today, and therefore there are certain parameters the Tanna Kamma is giving that Kahanim can't drink even today, then Kahanim asurin lishtis yayin la'ilam. Then Kahanim should be forbidden in any situation to ever drink wine, even if he recognizes that today is not his mishmer, because says Rebbe, maybe when the Beis Mikdash is going to be rebuilt, maybe whoever's going to be available as it comes will be required to do that avodah. Maybe it's not going to be the same order it was before it was destroyed. So therefore, according to you, if we're concerned the Beis Hamikdash might be rebuilt today, no kohen should ever be allowed to drink wine. But Avol Me'asa, but says Rebbe, to the contrary, what can I do? Shetakanosai kil kolosai. The rectification is because of the problem, meaning the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which had made this problem in the sense that we said that they should be forbidden of wine on the time of when their mishmer usually was, and they should be permitted to drink wine when it's not during the time of the mishmer. Says that actually now today makes it permitted for them to always drink wine because we're not concerned that maybe the Beis Hamikdash can be rebuilt. Sadly, it's kalkala, is its takana. The fact that, yeah, really they should not be able to drink because maybe today is the day, and definitely if it is the day, but says Rebbe, no, to the contrary, everyone could drink because we're not concerned that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built. So the kalkala is actually its takana, which allows them to drink wine on any day. That's Machlokes Rebbe and the Rabban. Now, Abaya had commented, and he says, "Kaman shasik kahana chamer ha'idna." So, who is it going like? From which one of these tanoim is it that kahanim who they drink wine today's times? Because most kahanim they don't recognize the mishmer that they come from. Must be Karebi, that the holy Rebbe, who Rebbe said that we're not concerned. We would love it to be built right now, but we don't require them not to be able to drink wine because maybe it might be rebuilt, and maybe they're gonna have to do that later. But one thing asked the Gemara, Machlav, the inference is Drabon and Nasri. That obviously the Rabbanan do say it's totally forbidden forever, and that wine is asr even bezman hazeh, even though it's not asman of bia. So how are you saying that the reason why we know that they're allowed to grow their hair is because we compare it to wine? Just like wine's only bezman bia when they're coming into the base to make their show to here, and therefore today that we're not going in, Kam could grow their hair longer. But what do you mean? We see from the Rabbanan that they do hold that wine is forbidden even when they're not going into the base of Mikdash. Says the Gemara, no, Hasam Hainer Time, but the other reason by the wine, the truth is that biblically it is permitted for Kaham to drink wine today. It's only based on the rabbinic decree, because Meheri Yabon the Beis HaMikdash, because speedily the Beis HaMikdash will be built today, will be Inan Kain, Haror Lavayda Valeka. And we need a Kain to do that Vayda, and there won't be any, because maybe they all have been drinking wine. So it's because of that the Rabbanan say that you can't, but not because. No, biblically when we compare the here to the wine, just like wine is not prohibited today because it's only when they're going into the Beis HaMikdash, so to growing the hair. You want to know practically why is it that Rabbanan say that wine is forbidden for all Kahanim if they don't recognize which Mishmer even today? That's for a rabbinic reason as a concern because technically then there might not be any Kahanim available to do that later. But that the Gemara asks, well, Hachinami, then the same thing should apply as a rabbinic concern for the growing of the hair. Being a kohen or a avodah v'leka, we're going to need a kohen to do that avodah. It's not going to be because they won't have their hairs cut in the last 30 days. So says the Gemara, no, that's not a difficulty. Oh, that's not a problem. Beis HaMikdash rebuilt in this second. He'll take a haircut quickly and he'll go right and do that avodah. So says the Gemara, well, hasam nami. Then regarding the wine, you have the same response. Efshe d'mesabe port of ayil. Even if he's intoxicated, he could take a small nap and then he'll be able to get up and do that avodah. Because the Amar Vachi says, derech mil, either walking a mil, or Vishina Kalashu is sleeping just a little bit, Mafigin Esayayin takes away the effects of the wine. So why is wine any different? Says the Gemara, no, because V'lavit Ma'alot, didn't we say regarding that halacha, that Amr Nachman, Amr Avuah, Loishon, we didn't learn that taking a small walk or a little nap helps to take away the effects of the wine. That's Elish Hashasa Kedei Revius. That's only if you drank just a Revius of wine. And the Yesim Kedei Revius, but more than the Revius of like of wine, to the contrary, then when you walk, then it makes you even more drunk, and the sleep does the same too, and therefore we're concerned that they can't drink wine because they might drink more than the Revius, and if the Beis HaMikdash is built right now, there's been a concern that we're not going to have Kahanim available to do that Avodah. But again, biblically, it's not a problem with the comparison we're making to Perereish, where biblically wine is permitted, and so too, growing in the hair is permitted because there is no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they're not going in to do that Avodah. That's one approach. Rav Ashi, I mean, he gives a different approach to resolve this question. He says, "Shetuya yayin demachli avoida." Regarding consumption of wine, which if a kohen would drink wine and then do the avoida, it would desecrate that service, as the pasuk says in Miyukah Yud, says yayin v'shecher, that wine and hard drink they should not drink, because it says ulahavdu bein hakodesh v'bein hachol, to separate between the holy and the profane.
which sounds like that it's going to, if a person does the avodah when he drank, it makes the avodah mukhalalas, it desecrates that service. So in that case, gazur b'rabbanan. So therefore, the rabbanan made their decree in that situation, even today's times, because maybe the base of mikdash is going to be rebuilt. And this is a pretty severe penalty, as we find it profanes the service. In contrast, perui roish le'mach le'avodah, regarding growing the hair, where it, even if a kohen would do the avodah with long hair, it would be a prohibition, but it wouldn't be mechal the avodah. So the gazur b'rabbanan. So since again, both of them biblically are permitted. But we asked, but the rabbinic concern of wine should apply rabbinically also to the growing of the hair. And then we say, no, still a difference, because by wine, that's mechal d'avodah. In contrast, here it doesn't, and therefore we didn't make that concern that maybe the Beis Hamikdash will be built, and that we'll run into that problem. However, the Gemara asked on this interpretation of Rav Ashi. Meisvei, we learned in the Brai says follows. It says, ve'elu shebemisa, regarding these violations of a kohen, he gets the death penalty, which is perui roish v'shatu yayin. He dies if he does the service with long hair, meaning that wasn't cut in the last 30 days, or if he had drank wine beforehand. Which the question is, Bishlam Mishtu Yain, we understand if he had drank wine, the Pasuk says to Yikra, Yain B'Shecher Al Tesht Atu B'Necha, wine and intoxicating drink, you should not drink, you, Aaron, and your sons, B'Leisamusu, so that you shouldn't die. El Puru Resh Menalam, where do we know that there's a person dies if he does the Avod with long hair? So, and that says the Gemara, because the Iskish Shetu Yayin Lefru Reish, because there's a Hekish, there's a comparison in the Pasuk that puts together and compares the laws of drinking wine and of growing long hair. They're similar, like the Pasuk says that we quoted earlier, it said, Vereshim Leigalechu, that they hear they shouldn't totally shave their heads, but Uferu Leishalechu, neither should they grow their hair too long. And it says over there, Vayayin Leishtu Begemi, that they should not drink wine and then do the Avaida, etc. Which Mashtu Yayin Bemisa, just like if he drank wine and does the avodah, he dies. After Rish B'misa, so too, if he goes long hair and he does the avodah, it's also that he's going to die. Now, therefore, says the Gemara, Umina. Now, moreover, so then, whenever you have a hekesh, you extend and you learn all the properties from the other one. So therefore, Mashtu Yayin D'machla Avodah. So just like when one drank wine and does the avodah, as we said, that desecrates the service that he does. And then that should extend to and tell us that if he does the service with long hair, that should also desecrate the avodah. So the Gemara Kasha, that's a difficulty on Rav Ashi, who he wanted to differentiate and say that there is no chil avodah by puru reish, and therefore we didn't make a rabbinic decree in today's times on puru reish. And that the Gemara says, seemingly from the hekesh, it's a complete hekesh. You don't in hekesh lemetza, it should tell us that you do have a chil avodah, and therefore that wouldn't answer the question why should there be any difference between the rabbinic decree of yain b'sman hazeh to the halacha of not growing their hair more than 30 days. Now, however, Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi, he asks, this, which, whether the question on Rav Ashi or, but the primary thing that we're learning from that Braisa is that we say that just like there is a misa for doing the avodah by having drank wine, so too is there misa by perereish. And where do we know that from? From the Hekesh. But where's that Hekesh? It's brought in Nach and Sefer Yecheskel. So on that, asked Ravin to Rav Ashi, but up until the Navi Yecheskel, Man Amra, who said this? In other words, we did we know that a kohen in earlier times, if he did the avodah with perereish, with long hair, that he would die if it was only introduced later on by Yecheskel? On that response, Rav Ashi to Ravinu, what I mean? Well, Tamech, according to your reasoning, Hadam Rav Chizda, this that Rav Chizda says in Masechta Zvachim in the second parak, that Davar Zeh, this halacha that a kohen that was uncircumcised is possible through the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Mitayrus Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamanu. We don't learn this from the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say in the five books of Moshe Rabbeinu. Atchebo Yecheskel V'lamdenu. It doesn't say in the Torah until Yecheskel came along in Navi and taught us, as it says in Sefer Yecheskel, Kol Ben Necher, any person that's foreign, meaning that he's a Meshumed, that his actions have become foreign to his father in heaven, which means to say that he doesn't keep the ways of the Torah. And he was Aralev, he's someone that's uncircumcised of the heart. Or Va'aral Basar, or he's uncircumcised of flesh, meaning to say he has not had a bris milah, and the reason for that is because even though his brothers died because of circumcision, which does not allow him because of the possibility of death, but ultimately he's still an Aral Basar, so he's not doing it because he doesn't want to keep the Torah, because then anyways he'd be an Aralev. It's just he can't do circumcision. Even so, the fact that he's uncircumcised, Lo Yaveh El Mikdashi L'Shoseinu, should not come to my temple to serve me. So, Adeloi Bo Yecheskel Man Amra, until Yecheskel came along and said this halacha, that an Aral Basar of a kind cannot do the Avodah, who had said it? Ella, rather, you must say Gemara Gemirla. This was a tradition that we had from Meshabeinu, from Har Sinai.
It just wasn't written in the Torah. Like we have many halachas l'mishmei Sinai.
And Yecheskel then later on came along and alluded to that in the pasuk.
Same thing answers your question that how do we know this halacha of if someone does the avodah with long hair that he dies? It was a tradition that we had. And then Yecheskel came along and alluded to in the pasuk.
Now some have the girsa which actually now based on Ravashi's answer to Ravina's question, it also answers the question that was asked on Ravashi previously on his interpretation, where v'chi gemiri halacha, and therefore, when did we have the tradition of this halacha, was only lamisa, was only for the fact that he's going to die if he does the avodah with long hair.
But to desecrate his avodah actually was not taught. In other words, according to this version of this girsa, he's answering the question that was asked on his interpretation. It's not a real hekesh. It's actually just being alluded to. But the halacha is actually halacha l'mishmei Sinai. And that was only said that if someone does the avodah with long hair, that he dies, but not that it's going to be mechal davod. And again, that answers the question. That's why bezman hazeh will only geyser on yayin, because that causes a chil avodah in contrast to long hair, which does not cause a chil avodah.
Now, the Gemara clarifies that in that pasuk that we said that they don't shave their head, but neither do they grow it longer than 30 days. Rather, it says that they trim their hair. So the Gemara asks, my chasim yichasim es reshem, what does that mean that they trim the hair on their head? So Tanya, we learned, kimin tasparis lulianias. They take like a lulianias type of a haircut. So the Gemara says, my tasparis lulianias, what is that haircut like? So Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, tasparta yichida. It's a unique, beautiful haircut that you can't compare any to like that. So the Gemara says, hey, chadami, what is that like? So Ravashi says, it's reishi shalzeh, it's the tip of one hair, bitzadi kar shalzeh, that's at the root of the other hair. I mean, no hair overlaps. Not like a regular person has a hair of head of hair. The edge of one hair ends where the next hair follicle begins. Now, Shalos Rabbi, they asked Rabbi, Ezehu tasparis shal kohen gadol, what's the haircut of the kohen gadol like? So Amalan, he said to them, Tzu ru'um tasparis shal ben alasha, go ahead and check out the haircut of ben alasha, he was the son-in-law of Rabbi, where Tanya will let in the Braisa, Rabbi Yaimer, he says, loyal chinam, it wasn't for nothing that Pizer ben alasha es ma'isav, that alasha spent so much of his money, because he wanted to be shown how is the haircut of the Kohen Gadol that he could go ahead and do the same, because there's nothing more unique and beautiful as that type of a haircut. That's the how they don't shave their head, but neither do they grow too long. It's this unique type of a haircut. Hanulach Kohen Gadol, which I will return to you, the second parak Masechtas Sanhedrin, parak Kohen Gadol.